Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
It's time for the Draft Dudes Podcast.
What's better than this?
Your hosts, the Draft Dudes themselves and co-founders of the Draft Network, Kyle Krabs and Joe Marino.
Guys being dudes
on the Draft Dudes Podcast. And it starts now.
What's better than this? Guys being dudes here on the Draft Dudes Podcast. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs. We're your hosts. Chris Schubert's here floating around producing this thing. We're from the Draft Network, and we're brought to you by Bet Online, which is your number one spot for all your sports wagering information. It is always the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, which includes, of course, the NFL, NBA, the NHL, college sports, soccer, you name it. You can find it over at Bet Online. Super easy to navigate website that's available on your desktop or your mobile device. We got a deal for you. Sign up today. You'll get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BELIEVE. That's BLEAV. It's Bet Online, and it's where the game starts. Kyle, happy Drinksgiving to you.
Drinksgiving.
Yes, this is the number. It's a day before Thanksgiving, and this is widely accepted as the number one drinking holiday
of the year. Yes,
of course. I just never heard that phrasing of it before.
But Blackout Wednesday, that, maybe you've heard.
Yep. That one I'm much more familiar with.
I didn't want to encourage people to get blackouts, so I just went with Drinksgiving.
I don't really do that anymore, anyway. Right? Like it's not really my wavelength at this stage in my career. So
your career. Yeah. He referred to drinking as a career.
Well, what else are you going to call it? You know, like, you have these evolutions and it waxes and wanes. And it's just young people listening to the show, 21 and over only, because if you're under 21, you're obviously not drinking. It's not worth it to get, it's never worth it to get blacked out drunk. It's just, you feel like trash for 3 days afterwards. And then when you get to, the first number in your age becomes a three, you're hurting for 2 weeks afterwards. So just take it from us. It's happy Drinksgiving, but like have a good time. Make sure you have rideshare stuff lined up so you can get home safely. And then just go get a food coma tomorrow on Thanksgiving and thank us afterwards.
Do not drink and drive, please, God.
Don't do it. Call me if you're in the state of North Carolina. Kicked out of the Draft Dudes family.
Nothing more uncool than drinking and driving, so don't do that. What is cool, though, is what we're going to do on the show today. A little check the tape action from Kyle and I, and then tear maker.
I thought it was really cool watching Chris squirm in his chair just now as we went down that rabbit hole, wondering how far it was going to go and if he was going to have to remove any audio from us going off on a drinking tangent. And I think we did okay, Chris.
You did fine. We can keep it all in. But there have been times where I've had to remove some things that you guys have said in the past. So
about drinking, too.
He doesn't often tell us that. Like, I don't think you've ever told us, like, hey, I want to let you know I took that out of the show.
That's not true.
You just do this on your own?
There are times where I've had to edit Kyle, and I go, hey, Kyle, just want to let you know you said this, and you maybe shouldn't have. And then Kyle goes, oh, yeah, you're right. Thanks.
The last one wasn't my fault, though.
No, it was not your fault. I just thought your choice of words was very poor.
It wasn't my words, though. It was somebody else's words on the show.
Then we might be thinking of two different instances.
Mm. I'm going to drop it in the chat.
Okay. I'll confirm if this was the case. Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about. You said it.
Yeah, I wasn't... I thought Joe said it.
No, you said
it. I'm innocent. I've been framed. So we're gonna talk about the tape. Is that the deal? We're going to talk about the tape.
Yeah. Once again, I have no idea what you have planned, and you have no idea what I have planned. So
I'm going to want to do the thing today, the thing that we do.
The thing where
we talk about something, and then we have like a project behind it.
Oh,
that happens.
I can tell you there's no thing associated with mine.
Do you want to go then?
Yeah.
Is it easier to get yours out of the way?
It sounds like it might. All right, here we go. My check the tape. And I think I'm going to be very prospect heavy for a while here because we're doing final evaluations and I'm excited about the players that I'm watching. And so if there's a player that I get excited about, I'm going to want to bring it to this segment. And recently I did a guy by the name of Dalton Kincaid, tight end from the Utah Utes. Folks, this man leads all of college football in receptions and yards amongst tight ends. He's very, very productive. And he's a player. Excited's the word. I watched the tape and I got excited. And I like the way that he made me feel watching his game. And let's talk about him for just a minute here because this is a really quality prospect here. And his path to becoming a quality prospect is kind of interesting. Didn't play football until his last year in high school. Basketball player, good basketball player. Just 1 year of football, so he wasn't this big-time recruit. So he starts his career at the University of San Diego. He's there for a couple of seasons before transferring over to Utah. And if you like tight ends, Utah is the school to watch, right? They live in 12. They live in 13, man. They put these tight ends on the field like crazy. So Dalton Kincaid went to a really good spot for him to showcase himself because part of what I really like about Dalton is just what he's put on tape that's translatable to the next level. He's a guy that has run a very expansive route tree. He's a guy that is blocked from multiple alignments. He's run routes from multiple alignment. The stuff that NFL teams are going to ask him to do, he's been doing for the last 2 years at Utah. And we typically see these tight ends come to the NFL and take a little time to get going. I think that in spite of him being relatively new to football, only been playing it since 2017, I think he comes in pretty ready to help an NFL offense. The pass-catching skill set here is really, really exciting. He's athletic. He's a good route runner. And this guy has unbelievable hands and ball skills. My guy has been targeted in college 153 times. How many drops does he have? One. This guy literally catches everything. He's sure-handed. It's just a very natural ability to get himself in good positions to win at the catch point, and he's got sure hands. I mean, that basketball background really, really shows up when he has an opportunity to go get the football in the air. You can feel it. There's just a natural sense about the way he gets himself into positions to make plays. Good in and out of breaks as a route runner. That was my favorite thing that I noticed when I compared my notes from the final eval that I recently did compared to the summer watch was I thought he was a good route runner and certainly was athletically gifted enough to get in and out of breaks and be fluid and all that type of stuff. But it was the technique that I thought he showed a lot of growth with where, you know, you watch him over the summer and he's kind of leaning into his breaks. He's not necessarily very deceptive at the top of routes where I thought there was a lot of growth in that area this year. And it's been fun to watch. Everything you could want from a route running hands, ball skills perspective at the tight end position. He's physical. He's got great concentration. He's competitive after the catch. I don't think this is a guy that is David Njoku after the catch, right? Not many people are or that, you know, that type of talent, but he's going to be physical and competitive and really compete for those extra yards. So again, not necessarily your Njoku, right? But a sufficient player after the catch, certainly not deficient in that area. He's got great temperament as a blocker. If you watch Utah, which hopefully you do, they're a fun team to watch, they get these tight ends, like I was saying, blocking in a lot of different ways. And while he's not going to be confused as this dominant inline run blocker, when they get him out in space and into bunch sets and even sometimes as a lead blocker, and he's working against DBs and, you know, really back seven defenders, he has a lot of success and he plays with a lot of control and he operates with good timing and there's good temperament and good physicality when he blocks in line. Although, you know, let's face it, there's a lot of times where opponents will kind of play through him when he's trying to, you know, widen gaps and has to really put his hand in the dirt and block in line. So it's a really good prospect, guys. I think maybe you could say at 6'4", 240 pounds, maybe you wish he was an inch taller. Maybe you wish he had 5 or 10 more pounds on him. Maybe you wish he was an elite athlete instead of just a really good athlete. Maybe you wish he was a tick better as an inline blocker, but my goodness, keep the main thing the main thing here. This guy's a really dynamic receiving talent that I think has a chance to be a quality starter in the NFL.
Kaithi getting hurt probably helped him, didn't it?
You know, probably, Kyle, but one of my favorite things this summer was watching how Utah got them both going, right? I mean, mm-hmm. they were both productive. I think it probably helped him a little bit because it gave him even more market share, but I don't know that I necessarily watched that relationship over the last 2 years and feel like they took away anything from each other, because Utah does such a good job of getting them both going. And, you know, they, like I said, they do live in that 12 personnel. So I think from the lens of in 2021, Kaithi was targeted more. Yeah. Then yes, Kincaid did eat away into that market share this year. So yeah, I talked myself into agreeing with you there. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I just kind of figured that it's the same thing with Jalen Waddle and Devontae Smith, right? When Waddle go down, Devontae Smith gets not only a larger target share, but like a different some new looks that he's now responsible for and showcases he's capable of doing. That in the long run ends up paying dividends with what his evaluation was as a player. So that was kind of the spirit of where I saw that, and it sounds like. Sounds like I got to get to Dalton Kincaid sooner rather than later for a final watch. I've seen plenty, and I know I'm excited about him, but.
I think, and just kind of because now you got my head going with great question, by the way. The number that I think tells the story behind what you said there about Kaithi going down and what it's meant for Kincaid was just his average depth of target. And I remember when I was contrasting the two players over the summer, the thought that I had was, Kaithi's this really dynamic after the catch player. I think he's a more dynamic athlete. And so he kind of got some of those looks and opportunities to create after the catch. And now those are going to Kincaid. Average depth of target in 2021 was 11.2 for Kincaid. It's down to 8.4 this year. And it's not because he's not getting chances down the field. He is. He's just getting more opportunities in some of those short areas to create after the catch. And I'm as you said that, I'm thinking of, okay, yeah, saw a couple little tight end screens, you know, manufactured touches in space, a little touchdowns and stuff. I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm picking up what you're laying down there.
Very good. Are you ready to do the thing,
brother? I have no idea where we're going, but I'm ready.
Okay, so did you guys see the video that dropped on the YouTube channel yesterday in the morning?
I'm aware of the video that dropped. I have not consumed it.
So, Chris, are you aware of the presence of this video?
Can confirm, yes.
So, we took a Fields trip and watched Chicago Bears offensive tape to study Justin Fields. And we've looked at the past month of game tape from Justin Fields and found common themes and film clips. And it was Ray and myself. And it's about 45 minutes long, but it's pretty thorough. And it goes through the winning traits that Justin Fields has right now. It goes through areas of independent growth for Justin Fields individually as himself as an isolated variable. It looks at areas of growth based on the pieces around Justin Fields and then finishes with what kind of pieces around him does he need that the Bears currently do not have? Okay. And I say all that because that's where I want to go with this. I don't want to have the conversation about Justin Fields, right? I just did a 45-minute video that I would highly recommend everybody go watch with film clips from the past month of play for Justin Fields to illustrate what is going on with Justin Fields. But my Tape Don't Lie discussion was just and we've joked about it on the show. We've called Chicago the Chicago Justin Fieldses, right? Like that's been a thing the last couple of weeks. So I want to do the thing. Joe, who's the number one pass catcher on the Chicago Bears?
Darnell Mooney.
So Darnell Mooney, put that name off to the side.
All right, he's off to the side.
Who is the best back in Chicago's backfield?
David Montgomery.
Do you believe it is David Montgomery, or do you believe it is Khalil Herbert?
No, I think I like.
I think Herbert has a reasonable chance.
Okay. All right. Well,
Like, we could be honest. It's not just because David Montgomery's a couple thousand yard receiver.
I think there's, or rusher. I think there's two different lenses that you have to look at it through. Like, who's the better player? Well, I'm going to side with the guy that's done more, right? Which is Montgomery. If you ask me which skill set I like better, I might say Herbert.
Okay, so we're going to put David Montgomery off to the side. And then I'm going to ask you, who's the best offensive lineman on the Chicago Bears offensive line? Their starting five, when healthy, is Braxton Jones, Cody Whitehair. Who am I forgetting at center that I'm pretty sure is?
It's Mustafa.
Like Lucas Patrick.
Sam Mustafa is their starting center.
Right, but Lucas Patrick's on IR.
Yeah.
And then Tevin Jenkins and Riley Reed. I mean, the center's not going to be the answer to the question anyway. Who is the best player on that starting five?
It should be Cody Whitehair. I'm pretty sure it's probably been Tevin Jenkins this year from what I've watched.
It has been Tevin Jenkins this year. I would agree with you. So let's take those three names. Okay? And I want to do the thing. I want to go through the league. Right. So let's start with Darnell Mooney.
Kyle.
Darnell Mooney, and no, this is to really drive home the point.
Kyle, we don't have enough time for this, man. We do.
We do.
It's bad. It's at the bottom, Kyle. Bottom five.
Darnell Mooney is wide receiver blank on Team X's roster. We'll do it quick. And if we don't get through all three names, we won't get through all three names. But I'm fairly certain we do have a reasonable amount of time because we're doing Tier Maker for a really fun topic at the end. And I want to make sure we get that in. Darnell Mooney is wide receiver blank on the Dolphins.
Three.
Blank on the Bills.
Two.
Blank on the Patriots.
One.
Blank on the Jets. Three.
Two or three.
I would say three. Blank on the Chiefs. And this is assuming health for all of these teams. Like every player that you have available to you.
Maybe two.
Yeah. Chargers.
Everyone's healthy?
Yes.
Three.
Raiders.
Two.
Really? No love for Hunter Renfro?
I have a hard time. It's two. I like him. I think it's two.
Denver Broncos.
Lord God, if everyone's healthy, what? I guess three. Maybe two.
The Tennessee Titans.
One.
The Indianapolis Colts.
Two.
The Jacksonville Jaguars.
Kirk's been good. Two.
The Houston Texans.
One. Nah, two. Cooks is good, too.
The Baltimore Ravens.
One or two. I
was going to say he might be the one there.
Yeah.
Cincinnati Bengals.
Three.
Would you take Tyler Boyd over? Serious question.
I don't think I would.
The Cleveland Browns.
Two.
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Two.
The Philadelphia Eagles. Three.
Three.
Dallas Cowboys.
Two.
Fully healthy Michael Gallup.
Three.
Okay. The New York Giants.
One.
Washington Commanders. Two.
Two.
San Francisco 49ers. Chris, did you take exception with something there?
Are we just going to disregard Jahan Dotson like that? Feels a little disrespectful.
Yes, we are. Yeah, I love Jahan Dotson, but Mooney's done more.
Mooney's done more. I would agree. They're pretty complementary skill sets, though. I like both of them.
Three for the
San Francisco 49ers.
Three.
Seattle Seahawks. Three. The Arizona Cardinals.
Everybody's healthy. Hold on. Three.
Now, don't have a time machine for AJ Green, so like, we need to factor that in. The LA Rams, excuse me.
Two.
Chris took exception with some. Chris, are you having Mooney at two for Arizona? Is that what you got mad about?
Three.
You get Hopkins and Hollywood Brown. Come on, man.
I would also take Hollywood Brown.
I got to be honest with you.
Fully healthy Hollywood.
I forgot about Hollywood Brown because he's hurt. That's
Did you think it was Greg Dortch?
I thought he was trying to hit me with the AJ Green or Rondell Moore, and I was like, excuse me?
No.
The Minnesota Vikings.
Justin Jefferson's 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, so 6. But the real answer is 2.
The Detroit Lions.
I'd
rather have St. Brown.
2.
I'd rather have St. Brown.
Right, 2.
Packers.
Oh,
1?
God. 1. Yeah, 1.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
3.
The Atlanta Falcons.
2?
2, but it gets an asterisk because they're such a run-heavy team that it's like Mooney doesn't really move the needle for you, right? Like, Carolina Panthers.
2.
Okay, and then the New Orleans Saints.
Everybody's healthy. God. Okay, I don't even know how good Michael Thomas is.
I'd write him off. I'd put Olave over him, though. It's very hypocritical of me to say I would take Olave over him, but I would take Olave over him. Okay, so we identified like 3 teams in the entire NFL in which Darnell Mooney would also be a wide receiver 1, right? And we're not going to do the thing with Chase Claypool. We're not going to do the thing with Dante Pettis, like the rest of the game.
Wide receivers 4s and 5s, those guys.
Right. Okay. We're not going to do the thing with Cole Kmet, but Cole Kmet has actually turned it on thanks to some really nice scheme type stuff with what they're doing new with Justin Fields. We're not going to do the thing with the running back. I don't want to have to do this 3 times through, but I'm just going to ask you fact or fiction. Tevin Jenkins is a top 3 offensive lineman on Team X. Top 3. He's their best lineman. Are you ready?
We're doing the thing. 32 of these.
We're doing the thing.
Oh God. Okay.
It's going to be quick. So just, it's like word association. So just whatever word first comes into your head, Chris, if you need to help now, help now.
So the opposite of quick. So we're going to be here for a while.
Carolina Panthers.
The question is fact or fiction, a top 3 offensive lineman?
Top 3 offensive lineman on that roster.
Carolina Panthers. He's not. No.
New Orleans Saints.
No.
Atlanta Falcons.
I don't know why I'm yelling. I'm sorry.
No, I love it. Into it. This is good. This is the whole point.
I think Joe feels that's the only way he's going to be able to do it quickly. If he goes, no, it's not.
Wow. Like emotional reaction. Atlanta Falcons.
No. We lost them. We lost them.
Probably not. Probably
Lindstrom,
not.
Matthews, and McGarry's been solid this year.
That's probably, yes.
Green Bay Packers.
No.
The Detroit Lions. Absolutely not.
No.
The Minnesota Vikings.
No.
No. The LA Rams.
Everybody's healthy.
Here's the thing. Joe Noteboom being out, I think, actually helps because that's how much pressure he was giving.
So Havenstein's definitely better. David Andrews is probably better. Brian Allen's probably better.
So we'll say no.
No, but close.
Arizona Cardinals. Don't forget Rodney Hudson.
God. Okay, Hudson, Humphreys. Oh, no, he might be 3. Yeah, that might be it.
Okay, so we have 1 yes. The Seattle Seahawks.
Probably, Kyle. I mean, those rookie tackles are good, but...
Probably. The San Francisco 49ers.
Man, their middle 3 is kind of corny, isn't it?
Yes. Good. So I'd say probably. I think he's top 3.
Yeah, I think that's true.
The Commanders. No.
Okay, I'll go with no.
The New York Giants.
Yes, their tackles are okay. Yeah. He's in.
Okay. Dallas Cowboys.
No.
Philadelphia Eagles.
No.
The Miami Dolphins.
Armstead, Connor Williams,
Rob Hunt.
No.
Yeah, Buffalo Bills.
Dawkins is better. Morse is better. Would I take Bates?
I didn't expect this to be the part where you took it so to heart.
No.
So your answer is no?
I think about it, though, but it's no.
New England Patriots.
What a weird offensive line.
So you get David Andrews if he's healthy, and obviously we're hoping Andrews that he's healthy, Brown, but it sounds like it doesn't sound good based off the injury.
If they're healthy, he's not. If he's healthy, no.
Okay.
No.
New York Jets. And the Jets kind of get a funny asterisk because, like, Elijah Vera Tucker is better. And then, Dwayne
Brown.
I would take Dwayne Brown and I would take George Fant, but they both play the same position, kind of. So, like, it's still kind of.
But in the spirit of the operation, he's not a top three offensive.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. Kansas City Chiefs.
No.
L.A. Chargers.
No.
Denver Broncos.
Yes.
The Las Vegas Raiders.
Lord, yes.
The Baltimore Ravens.
Not if everyone's healthy, no.
The Cincinnati Bengals. We have seven more teams. Then we can move on the Bengals, with our lives.
The Bengals. Volson, Williams, Collins, Kappa. I think Jenkins would help their offensive line.
I think he would too, but yeah, is he a top three starter on that line?
He shouldn't be.
But Collins and Jonah Williams are not playing to standards.
They're
so
not
we can
playing
say,
well.
We could say yes. We could say
Kappa's
yes.
Been
it's okay.
Pretty good. Yes. We'll go
okay.
With
yes. Yes. Cleveland Browns.
No.
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh God.
I would say yes on this one, personally.
Yeah, I'll go with yes.
The Tennessee Titans.
Man, if everyone's healthy, Luan's better.
Ben Jones
is better. And
Nate Davis
is better. Yeah. So no.
Indianapolis Colts.
No.
Jacksonville Jaguars.
I hate this offensive line.
Sheriff.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's tough. I don't know. It's, what do you, Taylor and Robinson are so inconsistent to me. Sheriff. I mean, Fortner
Sheriff
and
is definitively yes, but I think Shelly. He's the only one that's Chris is so distraught he just got up and walked out because like we're so close to the finish line.
It's close on the three, so I'm gonna say yes.
Okay, and then the Houston Texans.
He's better. He'd be good enough there. Yeah.
Okay, so there's only 10 teams across the NFL in which the best starting offensive lineman for the Chicago Bears would be considered a top three starting offensive lineman elsewhere.
I'm glad 10. You kept track because I lost myself in the middle of that.
Yeah, I think we had like four or five other spots where Darnell Mooney would be wide receiver one and 10 in which the best offensive lineman on Chicago would be a top three starting offensive lineman somewhere else. So I know that was a little tedious and we appreciate you guys sitting through it, but like I really wanted to try to quantify and drive home the point of just like the supporting cast in Chicago. There's a play on 4th and 10 in the red zone where Justin Fields takes a snap and they try to high-low a read to the right side of the field and Micah Parsons is to the left side of the field and they have a sniffer tight end and they delay release the tight end to chip on Micah Parsons and they send the back to that side to help on the inside gap of the offensive tackle. So they sent three guys at Micah Parsons and nobody touched him. And he still ran right through and forced an incompletion a completion for Justin Fields short of the sticks on fourth down, fourth and 10 in the red zone. And it was just this play that like, I'm like, wow, like, okay, they chipped the release, they chip release the tight end. He didn't really touch Micah. And then the back comes through the B gap and the offensive tackle's stuck in the mud. And Micah runs right by him like he's standing still. And it's like, they literally sent three blockers at the spinner off the edge of the line and couldn't sniff him and force an incompletion. So you're just watching the tape and you see these examples of like, we just need better players, you know, from a quarterback development perspective. And I give Justin a lot of credit for the way that he's playing and the production that he has and the points that the Bears are scoring. But it is so apparent that this can be a lot better, but you're going to have to do what the Philadelphia Eagles have done. Do what the Miami Dolphins have done. Like you have some of these young quarterbacks that you now is not the time to, well, I'm a defensive minded coach. No, now is the time to go all in on that side of the ball. Go get those guys. You need like three starters on the line and you need like three other wide receivers in the room. And it's a mix of guys with different body types and skill sets because you see they try to run different kinds of concepts. I don't want Chase Claypool running a whip return, right? I don't. And they've got Dante Pettis running that route on that fourth down play, and he's lethargic at the whip to come back out. And the ball that Justin Fields has to throw because he's on the run, sprinting away from Micah Parsons, who never broke stride to chase him down, because Justin's trying to throw him into a yak situation so that he can run away from the leverage defender, but the defender's right in his hip and almost undercuts the ball because Pettis can't get out of the break. So it's just, you look at the full picture there, and Chicago's got a lot of work to do, but you can see so much of the bright spots with Justin Fields when you're watching the tape. And I thought this would be as good of an exercise as we can do in a reasonable amount of time. It's about 10 minutes, Chris. I hope you're not too mad at me, to go through and quantify who their best player is on the line, who their best skill player is, and put that in the lexicon of the entire NFL and see how they would measure up.
I mean, I think that is a good way to quantify it. I think that, I guess what's the prevailing thought in my head right now is just that I think that the Bears should consider themselves very lucky that there's positive momentum when it comes to Justin Fields right now, because this could have been really bad. This could have been something that really sunk his development, where they busted him, right? Kind of going back to right. Jordan Palmer's phrase. But he's been able to kind of manufacture quite a bit through this, and he'll be better for it. But only if
they get the pieces right around sure. him starting
of
now.
Of course, starting which you'd think they would, right? Like there can't be a planet that we live on where the supporting cast for Justin Fields isn't better next year. That would be very surprising to me. And they got a lot of draft capital, and don't they have like $110 million in cap space? So
yeah, they're going to have a lot.
The stuff should happen here, but from the possibility of this really just getting ugly to where it's at right now, I think that's a good spot for it to be compared to where I was afraid it could go.
How effective do you think their sales pitch will be this offseason for free agency? Because obviously when you play the game through that lens, like a lot of times if you haven't been a historically competitive team, you're going to have to dramatically overpay to get guys in. Like, do you think Fields has enough of a pitch, and this coaching staff right now has enough of a pitch that they can live in a world where they don't have to give 20% above market value to get guys to commit to come there? And even if you have to do that, then you're asking yourself, are you getting guys that are coming into the building for the right reason?
Yeah.
How are they going to carry it? You know, that's the other worry here with this science experiment that they're going to have to conduct.
Yeah, you're not wrong. All that's very real. I mean, look at what the Jaguars had to do this past offseason, right?
Right.
They got right. guys, but they paid a lot.
And they had Trevor Lawrence and a Super Bowl winning coach and Doug Peterson.
Yeah. So that might be more compelling, right? So they're gonna pay. There's gonna be moments when we're reflecting on these moves next, you know, spring, where we're like, that's a lot of money. But it's probably right. what they had to do.
So Chicago and Ryan Poles, put as much of the guaranteed money in those first 2 years of the deal as you can, so that you got some flexibility to transition after a short period of time if you need to and need to get a little bit more flexible. But don't get stingy now. Right. Yeah. Like, don't do the Chris Ballard thing and get a banner up in the stadium for having the most salary cap 3 years in a row. Gonna have to spend right. it. Right.
Top quartile of the top quartile.
I can't believe hardly anybody picked up on that math being wrong.
Well, I've thought about this about 100 times since then.
Can I offer an alternative? Could we be wrong?
Go ahead.
Us and math don't really go well together.
So I've been quiet the whole time. So they're fourth, right? They're fourth in the NFL in wins since 2000.
Yes.
So the top quartile is the top eight. The top quartile of that is the top four. So they are in the top.
No, that's the top half of the top quartile.
A quarter of eight is two.
He's wrong.
Right.
Draft dudes do math. I'm glad I could deliver for everybody this week. So, Jesus.
But you see what I'm saying, though? It's 25%. So 25% of 32 is eight. 25% of eight is two.
It's two. Always. It's always two.
So he's in the top quartile.
Why are we
the top
doing
quartile.
So much
no,
math on this podcast? Why are we? It's a freaking football podcast. My brain hurts. Christ. People must think I'm an absolute idiot with the two truths and the lie blunders that I have and this kind of stuff.
It's endearing.
This
it's
is endearing. This show's a wild one heading into the Thanksgiving break that we're taking.
We're all jazzed up for the holiday, right? Like, little eggnog. You guys like eggnog? You get down with eggnog, yeah or
no? No, we do. We have this conversation every year. My wife had eggnog the other night, and she put ice in it. I've never seen anybody put ice in eggnog. I criticized her for that.
If you're putting anything in your eggnog, I would hope it's whiskey and cinnamon.
Just drink apple cider, man. Don't drink eggnog. Just
apple cider.
All right, let's do the tier maker.
Tier maker Wednesday.
We got time. We got plenty of time. Knock this out of the park.
We have 15 minutes. I don't know if we have a plenty of time, but we are going to rank all 32 NFL head coaches based on the idea of would we want them at our Thanksgiving Day table. Joe referred to it as who we'd like to have over for Thanksgiving dinner with our family. We have three tiers. Would love it, would be okay, or a hard pass. And I will tell everybody in the pre-show meeting, Joe and I talked about this. I think Joe's got way too many people in the would love it category.
Can I chime in here real quick? Since I was not invited to the pre-show meeting because I showed up like...
Because you showed up late? Yeah, okay, sure.
Yeah, like 60 seconds. This obviously comes with the asterisk of we would love all of them to be at the table to talk football.
It's almost like he was there. It's almost like Kyle was at the pre-show meeting.
He was at the meeting. He's fine. Everything's good.
So through the lens of I want all 32 at my table, I have then redefined love it, be okay, and hard pass, knowing that my answer would be yes for all 32 of these guys.
Nah, there are some of these guys I wouldn't want at my table regardless.
Kyle, I'm with you. That was exactly right. All 32 would love it, but because we have options, now we have options.
Right, you got to redefine it.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
So we're going to go in order here based on the way they're listed on Wikipedia, which is just by alphabetical order of the team. So
we get my list. Wait. I want to be working off the same sheet you are. You just did NFL head coaches?
I did. Yeah, the Wikipedia page. And then
why are you so distraught? The look on Chris had this look of disgust on his face that we had to wait another 10 seconds.
He's annoyed with you from the second you come on the recording to the time we're done.
Because Kyle knows how to push my buttons from a technical operations of the show perspective. There's no need for him to have the, there's no need for him to have the list open. I'm going to read the read the names.
Okay. We trust you. Let's go.
Cliff Kingsbury, Arizona Cardinals.
Hard pass.
That's a hard pass. It's a hard pass.
I'd be okay.
No, hard pass.
I'd be okay with Cliff.
Could you imagine the conversations? What are you going to get into with him?
What his workout routine is? You could talk about get air raid certified, a couple different things, a couple different directions you could take that if you wanted to.
Arthur Smith.
Hard pass.
Oh, it would be okay. Arthur's a fine gentleman. What are we doing here?
A fine gentleman? I don't know. It's just his demeanor for me. A little stiff.
I agree.
John Harbaugh.
A little stiff.
Love it.
Would love it. Would absolutely love it. Can we talk special teams too?
Would just be okay for John. It's okay.
What?
You are a goofy man, Chris Schubert.
You want to talk about personality? John Harbaugh doesn't have any personality.
Oh, no. Yes, he does.
Sure, he does.
He's one. Yes, one of my favorite press conferences to listen to is John Harbaugh.
Sean McDermott
would be okay.
Would be okay.
So this is gonna bother some people.
Why would it bother people?
Hard pass.
I understand it.
I don't want to spend my Thanksgiving with another AFC East head coach. No, thank you.
Oh, you're silly. That's not the qualifier.
Qualifier. No, thank you.
The qualifier is this. You know any football question that you ask Sean McDermott, he's going to give you the script.
Yeah, exactly. The only reason he wasn't in hard pass for me was because he's the Bills coach.
He's the Bills coach.
Could you imagine this guy like not a social setting guy? You know what I mean? You imagine 20 people around a table. Sean's just blending in.
So coach, what went into the recipe? Any secrets in your recipe?
Just trying to do what's best for the team. You know, put the team first, and in the moment, that's what we felt like was the best thing to do.
Well, so what did you do differently this year as compared to last year?
Something we'll probably have to take a look at this week, and I might get back to you on Friday on that.
Anything you might expect different for next year when you're cooking?
you know, we'll at the time, at the appropriate time, we'll evaluate it and see what we can do that's in the best interest of the team.
Steve Wilkes, thanks, Carolina coach. Panthers head coach.
Love it. Steve Wilkes is a slam dunk. Love it.
He's a love it. There's no
guy's
doubt,
been through
yes.
some shit.
So I put,
you know what I mean?
I put would be okay, but I think you're convincing me because I need to ask him, hey, Steve, the heck happened in Arizona? You want to spill those dirty secrets? You want to spill those details? So
and
I'm
if he's anything like Hugh Jackson was with me at the HOA scouting combine, just waiting for the opportunity for someone to ask.
Oh, I'm glad you asked. Here's the book. Right. He pulls out the book, lays it on the table, flips to chapter 5 and starts reading it off.
No question about it. Steve's going to empty the chamber.
That's fair.
You can't miss it.
I made the adjustment. I put him in
there. High on the list. One of the top 5 for me for sure, Steve Wilkes.
Matt Eberflus.
Hard pass.
It's a hard pass. I don't know enough about Matt to justify him being on the list.
It's kind of the same thing as Arthur Smith for me. He's just a little, little flat.
Zach Taylor.
A little stiff.
Would be okay.
Hard pass.
Really? Yeah. You don't think with Zach... You get a few drinks in Zach and you're like, hey, what's it like? But what are those meetings like with the owner that
to
you
me,
have
that's
to have
the,
every week?
Joe, to me, that's
did
the
he
problem.
He start opening up to you, you know what I mean?
But Joe, that's the problem. It shouldn't if you're going to be invited to my Thanksgiving feast, I shouldn't need a couple of drinks. I shouldn't have to do extra work, you know?
Because you're asking him to spill the beans, you know what I mean?
Steve Wilkes, Steve will spill the beans the moment he comes in. Hey, Steve.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why he's in Lovett and Zach Taylor's in would be okay.
And that's why Zach Taylor's in hard pass. Okay. Kevin Stefanski, hard pass.
Would be okay.
Well, I put hard pass.
Hard pass.
I didn't have great conviction on it.
He looked like a goon. Him trying to get sued through some of those press conferences this offseason, he looked like a goon to me.
Well, I don't know anybody who wouldn't based on
he put himself in that position. So, buddy, guess what? You're low on the list of guys to come over for Thanksgiving.
Mike McCarthy.
Slam dunk, love it.
Really?
You know this guy's bringing some banging side dishes.
I put hard pass.
No question. Oh, he's going to be a ball of fire in there. He's going to be the life of the party. No
question.
He's
ripping fireball shots. And yes. He's got the candied yams that he's bringing with him.
Yes.
Probably 3 pies.
Right. He's got some family recipe coming in with it hot, you know?
He'll probably come in with a clicker, too, since he spent his year off on sabbatical watching all that tape.
I want to watch the games with him, you know?
Yep.
Nathaniel Hackett.
Hard pass.
Hard pass.
So at the very beginning of this exercise, I explained that you put all 32 coaches through the lens that they would obviously love to be here. I would like to be abundantly clear. Nathaniel Hackett is not invited to that party. That's a hard pass, and it's on principle. Like, no.
That's
no, thank
saying.
You.
He just doesn't seem authentic to me. Like, because I've been through this journey with Nathaniel Hackett because he was the Bills offensive coordinator. Like, out of nowhere, and just the way people talked about him, just like he just seemed kind of fake to me.
I can't believe the second coming of Joe Philbin turned out to just not have any teeth.
Puts on a show, man. I don't know about this guy.
I am willing to go out on a limb and say we are going to be unanimous with this next gentleman. The coach of #OurLions, Dan Campbell, you got to have him at the Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, love it.
Can he stay over?
Right.
You want to sleep over?
Can he stay for
night?
The whole
Do we
week?
Have enough food for the guy, though? You know what I mean?
Right. That is the downside, is you need to have 2 meals, one for Dan and one for everybody else.
Guy's putting down 5,000 calories, no question.
Matt LaFleur.
Okay. Would love it.
I said would be okay. I'm
love
with
it,
Joe.
Huh?
I'm with Joe.
Yeah, he needs to hop on Amazon and do my Christmas shopping list for my outfit. Like my wardrobe.
Okay, I appreciate that.
He looks like a GQ model out there, man. Like, yeah, I want to know where he gets his stuff so I can put it on my Christmas list.
That's respectful. Lovey Smith.
Would be okay.
I would say would be okay. The story, we got a lot of stories. A lot of stories we could tell.
I thought about that, but he seems, I don't know, I listened to his introductory press conference to be the Texans coach. He didn't inspire me.
Do you feel like that is not more to do with Houston than Lovey, though? Like, he was the head coach of the Bears for 8 years. The
Bucks. Illinois, he's got a sweet beard.
I think he's got enough cooking for him that, like, Lovey's more than welcome at my table.
Jeff Saturday.
Love it.
I said would be okay.
Oh, have you been listening to this guy since he's been the coach of the Colts?
Yeah. I think the
bring him over.
The breath of fresh air, right? It's just uninhibited because he doesn't know what he doesn't know as far as like handling all that kind of stuff. He's obviously been a professional football player for a long time.
That's why I got the job, Kyle.
Right, right.
Not afraid.
This next guy, definitely.
Why did you sound so much like Bill Burr just
there? I don't mean for that to happen sometimes.
Did you hear it?
I did. This next guy, definitely getting invited because I know he's going to have the dessert covered for us.
Andy Reid.
Let's go get some ice cream.
Doug Peterson.
Dougie P.
Get him in there.
Would love it. Let's talk RPOs with Dougie P.
RPOs. He's going to have the ice cream, the dessert covered. Get him in there. And you mentioned him, Joe. Andy Reid can sit right next to Dougie P. Get him in there.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely.
Josh McDaniels. No, thank you. Hard pass.
He's in the Nathaniel Hackett. Legitimately do not want you to show up at my house. Bucket.
This next guy might also be in that bucket, depending on the way Kyle talked about him yesterday. Brandon Staley.
Hard pass.
I would be okay. Yeah. You know. Sean McVay. Got to have Sean McVay at the dinner.
Yeah, love it.
Love it. Just sit here and Google random plays from random seasons.
Right, and be like, hey, remember
it.
This? Yeah. And he'll go through it. Yeah, that's a great
thing. He'll be like, yeah.
It's a great
Kyle, I'm sure you have the same thought that I do. With that, whatever that podcast that we listened to like 2 years ago with Sean
Flying
McVay,
coach.
So
Flying
freaking
coach.
Good, man.
Yes.
A podcast to this day that gets mentioned on the show regularly, even though it happened 2 years ago.
I was so upset it didn't come back last summer. I was like, I was planning my summer around this podcast and didn't come.
Mike McDaniel.
Love it.
Would love it.
Be okay. Again, AFC East
what?
Coach. It's an AFC East coach, Joseph.
This is one of the most unique men coaching football out there. You got to be over. You got to have him over.
No, I don't. It's my Thanksgiving dinner. I can invite who I want.
Hater.
Kevin O'Connell.
Would be okay.
Yeah, would be okay.
Bill.
Hard pass.
This might be a surprise. I would love it.
No, Joe. Kyle, no.
See, this I've said this a million times. The Dolphins sometimes beat the Patriots. I went 31-32-3 against Brady. You're in a current 14-game losing streak.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it.
Oh, I get it from that lens. But Bill, the breadth of football knowledge.
He's boring. Don't even try this. He's boring.
He's intentionally boring for the media. I just got done 2 weeks ago. I rewatched the Saban Belichick HBO special. And I think if you got him in a situation which he knew he wasn't performing for his team in front of the media to get his messages across, and you could just have like general football conversations with him, I think it'd be thoroughly enjoyable to share.
You think he would do it though? I understand what you're saying. Like I've seen him on his boat and all that. And like, he seems like he's got something to him, right?
If Bill's going to show up at my Thanksgiving meal and I genuinely want to learn the game from Bill, I would like to think that he would provide some level of valuable insight.
The way he answered that holder question a few years ago.
Yes. You see little glimpses of it.
I'm bumping him up to would be okay.
Thank you. That's all I'm asking for. Let's be open-minded.
Nah. Dennis Allen.
Hard pass.
Hard pass, but it's not because of anything Dennis Allen did. I just didn't have like any reaction to seeing his name on the list.
Correct.
Brian Daboll. Gotta have him. You gotta have him at your
love
dinner.
Love it. Yes.
Would love
100%.
It. Love it.
Robert Saleh. Would love it. Gotta have him at your dinner.
Love it.
Would love 100%. It.
He was
who else is he? Is he and Dan Campbell gonna fight after?
Probably.
What's interesting about Saleh is like you see him. His game day presence isn't what you think it's going to be, though, right? Do you guys agree with that?
100%. 100%. Nick Sirianni.
So. But this guy at Thanksgiving?
I still feel like he'd be on edge.
He had the best stories. When he was on McVay's podcast, Saleh had the best stories. I could have listened to those two guys forever.
Nick Sirianni.
Love it.
Would love it.
Would be okay.
What? Oh, why?
It's his table.
Joseph, I know it's your table, but what puts him down?
We can't have you and I have just a fundamental disagreement when it comes to these tier lists. You just want to jam as many people as you can into the elite of the elite. And I just don't. I gatekeep. There's just this. That group's got to be small. You can't just invite everybody.
Gatekeeper Chris.
You just can't do it.
Gatekeeper Chris is your new... We're getting rid of mid-major Chris, no, and you now need to be Gatekeeper Chris.
No, because now I have to champion the mid-majors now, because we're going to go another year without NCAA 24. Now it's going to be...
Yeah, thanks a lot, EA Sports.
So the mid-major challenge is going to start soon.
Great. Can't wait.
Is there more coaches?
Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, we got like six
more.
Love it.
Got it. Slam dunk.
Would love Mike Tomlin as well. Yes.
Kyle Shanahan. Would love it.
If I can get Shanahan at the same table as McVay and McDaniel and them, I would love it. If I can, and it's just Shanahan in a vacuum by himself, I would be okay with him.
Yeah, I have him in just okay.
Pete Carroll. Would love it. Give me Pete.
Would love it.
Give me Pete. I'm surprised Joe was with us there. Todd Bowles.
This isn't hard the pass? Merit of their coaching ability. It's whether or not I want him over Thanksgiving. Hard pass, by the way, on Todd Bowles.
I would be okay.
Even though the man just built the house near mine.
Did he really?
Don't dox.
Yes, this is a possibility.
Don't dox the coach. Don't do that to him. What? Mike Vrabel. Gotta have Mike Vrabel there.
I'd be okay.
Yeah. I reluctantly said love it.
Yeah, he gotta have
him. Probably means he should be on.
He was on the fringe for me, but because I knew like my numbers were pretty ambitious, I had 16 coaches in the love it section. I felt like I had to balance them out. So Vrabel was like he would be a would love it, but then like the scale's too big, and I don't want to get gate kept by Chris. So he's in be okay for me.
I think there's a chance Vrabel would roast me.
Oh, 1,000,000%.
Yeah, I had to bump him down. I couldn't match his wits. Like
he would do it in jest, right? Like he wouldn't do it maliciously.
Right,
but like,
ripping me apart.
He'd rip you at your own table
right.
For sure.
Yeah, had to bump him down.
Ron Rivera is the last coach.
Well, you gotta love it, right? Ron's a good guy.
No, be okay.
Would be okay. Yeah.
Aww. And he's gonna be okay because Joe, I just know you would text me my entire meal with questions that you would want me to ask Ron Rivera, including ask him if he's planning on having consecutive winning seasons for the first time in his career these next 2 years.
Wait. He's not coming off of a winning season.
Right. The next 2 years. That's what I mean. Like assuming he finishes the job this year and then next year.
It'd be always 12 seasons, 9 of them you had a losing record.
Right. You'd be texting me that stuff nonstop with me sitting next to Ron. I couldn't do it.
ask him why he never got a left tackle for the Panthers. Is that it? Is there more?
That's it.
The weirdest show we've ever done.
I had 16 Lovitz, 9 BOKs, 5 hard passes, and 2 legitimate, like, don't show up at my house. I wouldn't let you in if it was cold.
16 Lovitz, 6. No, I messed this all up as I made changes.
Oh, boy. Draft dudes do math. He's got to count the guys he moved around. And
so I went 15 Lovitz, 8 would be OKs, and 9 hard passes.
Chris, do you have your head
I don't.
There?
I'll reopen it here for you real quick. Just give
no,
me 2
that's
seconds.
Not necessary.
Talk about
we're gonna go
nobody
ahead.
Closed this no, stuff faster than Chris Schubert.
It's already
right, he's
it's,
like, done. That's it.
Wow.
That's going to do it for us here today on the show. Chris, you'll have to count and get back to us on Friday. We're off tomorrow. We'll be back on Friday. We're looking forward to it. Hope you guys have a happy Thanksgiving for those of you who are celebrating along with us and the Draft Dudes. Thanks to our friends at BetOnline for their continued support of the show. We'll talk to you again on Friday.
Thanks for being here for another episode of the Draft Dudes Podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. While you are at it, help the dudes out by leaving a rating and review. Want more? Head over to www.thedraftnetwork.com or follow us at The Draft Network on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.